Maybe you may wonder why we sang especially so much. We sang a lot anyway, but if we sang so much, why we did tonight? And I'll tell you why, because Kevin prayed about the strongholds needing pulled down. And there can be strongholds that we have in our minds and hearts that need broken through and pulled down, even before the word of God. And I felt it. And I was, Lord, we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. Just trust that the Lord will take his word tonight. Will you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, please? Tonight we want to speak on the supernatural manifest through flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The apostle writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Will you pray with me? Father, cover us this evening. Cover us by your protecting arm. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, and may your hand be upon this meeting and this people. We pray, Lord, there would be no open gateway nor doorway into anyone's life, but all would be shut to the powers of wickedness. And Lord, our hearts would be open to thy blessed Holy Spirit. Pray tonight, Father, you would help me, this man of frailty. And Lord, that you would help me to say what you'd have me to say, that your Son would be glorified. Cover us. Guard us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The apostle tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, or be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is a word methodia. Against the strategies of the devil. That's what it means. It's where we get our word methods from. Methodia. Against the strategy of the devil, or the deceit of the devil. Trickery and the plans of the devil. Notice the word, take the whole armor of God. The term there for whole armor is a word, panoplia. And it means take every weapon at your disposal and every single piece of armor, for you are going to need it. Sometimes Christians just don't armor up at all. Don't pray, they don't seek the face of God, they don't armor up whatsoever. Notice, if you will, this word panoplia, it comes from a word from pas, which means everything and all things. And one is hoplon, which means any form of tool or weapon that the Lord has given to you for your disposal and use. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Brother Kevin prayed it when we were praying before we opened the word. The apostle writes, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we're in bodies of flesh, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Notice this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word weapon here is the same word hoplon for panoplia. And hoplon or weapons here simply means take every single weapon a Christian has in this war that we find ourselves in as believers. The word warfare is the word stratia. It's where we get strategies from, and it gives the idea of a well-armed military might going prepared in an expeditionary force to battle. So the Christian is to be completely armored, that God has given us everything, because there's an invisible world, there's an invisible war, and it's shown through flesh and blood. Think of all that's happening in the world today with all the elitists and all those of the New World Order, that which they're pressing and hoping to achieve in its fullness. All of it is demonically inspired. And in behind all of that are demon spirits who are pressing people of power, who are behind the scenes worshipping what they think is their God, but they're worshipping demonic spirits. Notice the word warfare means we are to walk together as a military, well-armed military force. Now take note that this is not literal armor, but it's the armor of God. It's not the armor of man. I can't give you armor. God gives the armor to all of us. It is spiritual armor for spiritual warfare, to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons, to pull down and to destroy spiritual strongholds. And hence, then in verse 12, Paul tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we see it manifest, the supernatural manifest, the spirit world manifest through flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you see that word wrestle? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It gives the idea of two wrestlers, and the aim of one over the other is to throw one down completely, and listen, to pin them down, that they are unable to move. That's something that another spirit would do. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Notice here, we don't wrestle as if we are wrestling with a man of flesh and blood or women, but with spirits. And we wrestle in the spirit world, in prayer, in supplication, in worship, with the word of God. We're wrestling in the spirit realm. Now be careful. Woman one time sent for me, and I went to see her and her husband, and she said, she wasn't long saved, I'm starting to have these visions and all this sort of stuff and get into these dreams. And she was telling me words that I had recognized from when I dealt with people with a demon spirit, names of spirits. I'm not going to mention them. I don't want to give them glory. And she started to tell me the names of these demons. And I said, I know those names. Now, you're not long saved. You need to be careful what you're doing. Don't do that. Okay, then, that's all right. I'll listen to the pastor. And by the time I got home, I got another phone call. I'm going to do it anyway, no matter what you say. He says, please don't. I went back out again. And it was like talking to a brick wall. She went and done it again and again and again until eventually she had a mental breakdown. They put it down to multiple personality disorder with her. warned her, I told her not to do this. And the words I said, she says, but I have the armor of God. I says, you can have armor, but you're untrained in how to use it. A swordsman needs to know how to wield a sword. Needs to know how to dress with the armor on. What to take from the word and to face the enemy with. And hence a spirit can move through flesh and blood. Move upon someone, even not possess, but to oppress a Christian. Paul says here that we have these weapons to pull down spiritual strongholds. Many Christians live not knowing that they have this weaponry to speak, to pull down, to pray into. And look, I'm not demeaning anybody. I'm not saying anything about anybody's walk. But some people think being a Christian is getting up a nice wee prayer, going to church, and that's it. Paul is saying, listen, no matter where you are, brother, sister, in your life, in your walk, at home or at work or on holiday, no matter where you are, you have the Holy Ghost in you if you're a child of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you need to recognize it and know it. Some time ago, way before I was saved, I've said this before, I'm not going to dwell on it. You know, when I was doing well in sports, I was at the top of my game in sports. I was about to go semi-professional and then into professional, hopefully, at the time. But I went out on a bus run with men and I ended up taking drugs. And especially young people, I want you to hear this. We went to a nightclub. And it was the best thing I'd ever felt in my life. The euphoria of taking the drug was absolutely amazing. And this man came out called the Wizard. Remember the music going? Remember it all darkened? Remember this cloaked figure comes out with a demonic face on him? Don't ask me how he does it. It's as if he takes his head off and it seems to move around the room. You're high as a kite, But next thing you know, you're stripped of the waist and you're standing at like a higher platform. He's maybe up about here, I think. I'm just trying to remember. Standing against it and you're in a place of worship. How great he was and how wonderful. And from that night, something entered into me. I opened my spirit to a demon. And from then on, things got darker in my life. Everything I'd ever worked for, I lost it. My mind was gone until I got to the place where I was hearing voices either kill myself or kill somebody else. Voices speaking to me, this demon. I became afraid and petrified. I mean, I was brought up with my father used to say, men don't cry. Come on, he'd slap me if I showed any emotion. Men don't cry. We're tough, son. You know, you come in. I wasn't a hard man, but you come in. Oh, when I was younger, boy up a street maybe slapped you or something. You know, he'd have turned you around and hit you a kick up a tail end and told you to go out and sort it out and don't come back until you have. Took me to a Sunday school one time to wait and two guys coming out. Who had got my younger brother down an alleyway and give him a kicking. And he says, now when they come out, you give them two a kicking. Out of a brethren hall, they were just going to the Sunday school. So I was brought up not to show this sort of stuff. But I became afraid and I became petrified. Next thing I started to see, demonic figures. I'd have been talking to someone and one would have just appeared behind somebody. 9 foot tall, about 8, 9 foot tall, whatever it was. A great big black demonic figure. Sometimes with no face, just a flowing figure shape. All to do with taking drugs. All to do with a gateway that was opened through this drug and this night that I had there. And I became addicted. You know, when I talked about this stuff, and I talked about it one time here before, I wasn't sure, was this just me here? And I've asked for his permission, but David Seifert came to me and he said, when I was in the nightclubs and I was on drugs, I seen that figure. I seen that figure. Someone else came to me not so long ago. They're sitting here tonight. I haven't asked for their permission, so I won't give their name. They saw him too. But I want to show you something, because that figure came to me right up until the night I got saved. But then in ministry, I wrestled with him through ministry. I mean, I wrestled with him through ministry. Not afraid this time, but I wrestled through ministry. You know, when I got saved that night, I heard voices in the head. All sorts of screams and yells and swear words were going off in my head. But that night, I heard Pastor McConnell preaching the glorious gospel of saving grace in our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed at Calvary for me. And I'd been in touch with counselors, not in touch, I'd been seeing counselors for addiction. Couldn't do anything with me. Couldn't help me. In fact, they get sick of me. Doctors wanted me to go away for a while for treatment. But the night that I met Christ at the foot of the old rugged cross, under the sound of the preaching of the gospel of saving grace, there, as it were, a cry for mercy, like a man just hidden beneath the Spirit, I got a glimpse and I went, Lord, help me, save me. And Christ came right into my life and saved me. You see, from that moment, I still had other things happen. That night, I was homeless at this point, and I went and stayed in a friend's house, and I was laying on the floor next to their settee. It was too short for me to lie on, and I was only staying overnight there. And that night, with my face turned in the way, I felt something behind me. And as I looked up, the black figure like this, I felt fear. And all I knew, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a nominal Protestant Presbyterian home. Never went to church. Couldn't have told you the gospel anyway. But all I knew to cry was, Jesus, I meant that tonight. I meant that tonight. With all my heart, I meant that. And off it went. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so, as things went on, I obviously met Alison, we married, and I went to Dublin in later years then to pastor. And when I was pastoring in Dublin, there was a few people that were from Thailand came to the church, some Filipinos and different ones, different mixture. Of course, Irish people there too, but a few came in, and they had a church, if my memory serves me right, it was in the Sandy Mount area in a school at the time. This is 20-something years ago now, in the school in Sandy Mount. And at this time, I'm pastoring, and I went into the meeting, and they were having a night worship just like we sang. And I got up, and it was an old school. You know, you have the hard players in them, but the platforms are this sort of height, you know. Well, they were up singing on it, and I thought, I'm going to be away up here, and I'm going to be like that with the people. So I came down and I preached down here. And just about over here, there was an Irish woman there, a woman from Dublin. And she was doing all this moving. I can't remember. Couldn't act it. Her legs, her head, her neck, her hands were just doing this. And it wasn't that the woman had like a mental disease or disorder. This woman was tormented with a demon. And I preached on about the Lord. And it just was coming to an end. And from here, the voice came out of this woman. And she cried, "Can you help me?" And I thought, what do I do to help this woman? In my head, I'm going, "Lord, help me. I don't know what to do." I says, "Get up." And there was someone on each shoulder, like this. There was one on each arm holding her, and she was throwing them about the place. They were holding on to her. And they brought her up, and the woman's like this, and they're wrestling with her. Literally. And all I could think of in my head was, "Lord, what do I say? How do I deal with this?" And the Lord spoke into my ear, "Just worship me. Just worship me." So I said to the woman, "Do you know who I'm speaking of?" And a voice came out that wasn't a woman's voice. "Yes, I know him." I said, "Well, he'll set this woman free from you." I spoke to the spirit, "From you. He will set the woman free." My hands were like this, and I placed her hands like this. And I was being thrown about like this. They were still holding on to her. We started to sing. We started to worship. And I just closed my eyes and was like this. And I just says, "In the name of Jesus, we'll worship." And this growl was coming out. And by the time I got her hands like this, she was all over. And then suddenly I noticed it was just perfectly still. And the woman was set free indeed. We prayed with her. She called in the name of the Lord, and we prayed with her. I stayed for, I don't know, an hour and a half after that, and they were still singing. You know, I thought this was long singing tonight. They were still singing. They were still praising. And I had to go on to another meeting. And I was told the woman was standing praising the name of Jesus the rest of the day. And they stayed for about 3 hours. And hence, when I came out of Dublin and I was in a church not far from here, one Sunday night after the meeting, I was asked, "Would you come round to this house?" And I went round. And there's a man sitting in the house, as calm as anything. And his brother said, he has a demon or something. He's speaking all this demonic voice coming out of this man. So I sat on the settee, and I says, "How you doing?" And as calm as anything, in his own voice, he said, "Yeah, I'm doing all right. Okay." I just looked away again. And I pulled his chair over, a stool it was, and I sat right between his legs, and I says, "Look at me." And his eyes went like pools of black ink. I says, "Now you look at me. Who are you?" "I'm Satan," he says. I says, "Are you?" He says, "Do you want to see him?" I says, "Yes, show yourself." And suddenly a voice came out like it was unearthly. He leapt from there like a... Tell you who was with me. Gary was there. Not right, Gary? You were there. Three of us trying to pin him down. He was so quick, he had me by the throat, wrestling me literally to the floor, pinning me down. Managed to get him over. And to be honest, I got right down with my knee on his cheek and my hand on his throat like this. I says, "Now, who are you?" "My name is Satan," he says. I says, "You're not Satan." I says, "You're a nobody. And in Jesus' name, you must leave this man alone." This man started to relax. I think Gary at the time was holding his ankles, and his brother was laying across the top of him. Telling you this to tell you something. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And whether it be up around the elitist level, right down to ground level where you and I are, there's a battle going on And Christians are playing around with the things of God. Now let me tell you, pick this verse especially, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. I was in the Dublin church, and one night we were living in Bonbridge at the time, and can't remember the year it was, but we were living in Bonbridge at the time. I was laying in bed one night and I had a dream. Now listen, I'm not one of these cheese sandwich people, you know, I had a dream about this, that and the other. I had a dream and I dreamt I walked out to a church and there was a massive congregation of people, just like you're sitting here, only further back. And I was looking around going, wow, look at the people who are here in the dream. This is amazing. Look at the people who are here. And suddenly, the same black figure appeared in front of me in my dream. No face, just flowing. You see the outline. Appeared right in front of me. Took me as if it were by the lapels, but really, it was like inside me. Lifted me up in the air. Over the crowd, over the congregation. And the same voice that I'd heard before says, "You will never win them. You will never win them." And I remember struggling and wrestling in this dream. You'll never win them. And remember saying to this figure, "I don't have to win them. Christ has won them. Christ has won them." And at that point, it's as if we were in the air. We went straight across, as if we went right out the wall. And I ended up in an underground cavern. It was like the Grand Canyon multiplied, only covered at the top. And it was on a flat level. I'll never forget, it was like, I'd see it like it was just happened yesterday. And I was standing, looking down. And even beneath that again, you could see as if there was light and flickers of flame coming out all over. That's all I could see. And then he goes, "Now listen." That's the way he goes. "Now listen." And all I could hear was the screams, was the torment, was the cries. Horrific. I never forget it. It affected me. I'll never forget it. He says, "Look, listen." And I remember hearing this, and it was going through me. It wasn't just that I heard it. It was going through me. You're going, "But you're only dreaming." Listen. At this point, I'm looking around and he's nowhere there. And he comes as if he's flying. Or it's just in the air. Comes right round this hole in the middle of it. And he comes right up to me. And I look and there was bars. And there was two of my old friends that I used to party with. One made a profession and fell away from God, called Paul. The other one was never saved, called Brian. And there they were behind what looked like bars, and they were crying, and they were petrified. "Get me out, get me out." And I'm going, "I can't, I can't." And I seen this figure coming. And I was crying with them. I was going, "I can't, I can't." Next thing, this figure hit me, wrestled with me, and listen, pinned me down. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Pinned me down. And I couldn't move. I couldn't move. And I remember trying to get up. And I was even saying in Jesus' name, and nothing was happening. And then I said, "In the name of Jesus, who is the Lord of hosts." It was as if someone had a bungee band on his back. Away he went. And I woke up from this dream. The bed was soaking wet. I was drenched with sweat. Alison was laying peacefully and blissfully unaware that anything was happening. But when I woke up, and I'm awake now at this point, I woke up, I had been still pinned to the bed. I was paralyzed and I couldn't move. I couldn't move and I was trying to think, "Alison, Help me. The scripture says he giveth his beloved sleep, you know. I don't know. He must love you an awful lot, you know. That's the way it was. And the same voice, and I am awake. I'm a wide awake. Paralyzed, can't move. And the same voice then spoke to me. Ah, what about your children in the room next door? I'm paralyzed looking at this, listening to this. And at that point, it was Jody. There was this, you know, especially mothers, but I know parents, but especially mothers, you know the difference in the cries of your babies, don't you? You know when they're really frightened and trouble or they're hurt, or you know the difference. Well, the pitch of the scream from Jody was something otherworldly. And it woke her mommy up. I was paralyzed. She turned to me and I couldn't move. She runs into the room, gets Jody, and as Alison comes in, she walked into the room, she stops. Ken, what's in here? What's going on here? Isn't that right? I couldn't say, I couldn't speak, I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. What's going on here? And at some point, I don't know how long it was or what happened, but Alison, in the middle of the room with a child in her arms, started pulling down demonic strongholds. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the blood of the Lamb. This is protected by the blood. We're believers in Christ. No, we're children of the living God. We're redeemed. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed shall prosper against thee. And all of a sudden, I set up. I was set free from it. I'm a pastor at this point, by the way. And I was set free. And I got up and she looked at me. She had the child settled. She didn't know what was happening yet. And she said, there's something happening here. There's something happening, Ken. What is it? And I says, Alison, I couldn't even speak to her. And I was ill for days. Bedbound. For days. And Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it was to think that sometimes we think that, you know, it could be in the street. There's Ryan in the street all the time. Sees many demons. I've watched him on his videos with many demons too. Working through flesh and blood. Working through flesh and blood. The supernatural can be seen not only in a bad way, if you want, in a wicked way, but the supernatural can be seen in a divine way. Do you see whenever you were saved and the Holy Spirit of God came into your life and regenerated you that you would receive Christ as your Savior? That was a supernatural act of a sovereign God. That's a supernatural act. Do you see whenever you're in a meeting and we're all aware of that anointing flowing through the meeting? It's a supernatural act of God. Moving on this flesh and blood that's dead toward God in itself. We went one time, we'd done a mission. I'll tell you where it was in our dress mission hall. We started having this mission, and it's a small hall. It's not hard to fill. But we started preaching and some people were getting saved. And then it went on again and more people were coming until it was packed. Absolutely jam-packed. Until one night, it was so packed, there was no aisle to walk down. They just walked backwards putting seats out. Out the back was a boiler house. And in the boiler house, there were some of the men in there praying. And it was a cold, dark night. I mean, as dark as we can get it. And it was freezing cold. And the people kept coming until they started circling as much as they could, because it's blocked off around the other end, around the little hall. So they opened up the windows. And it was freezing. But the people still stayed outside. And I'm going, why are they staying here? It was a supernatural act on flesh and blood, bringing them in, bringing them around. And we started preaching. And listen, we were singing, just like we were singing this evening. That's why I kept singing. I was waiting for this. And I'm here preaching, and it's only a small hall, but as I look down from the roof to right across the top of the people's heads, there was like a mist across the top of the people. And I said, because I'd seen this, I used to see this when Whitewell. I used to say to Allison on a Sunday morning, not all the time, every now and again, I used to say, something's going to happen this morning. I can see it. I've seen it. And hence all this was happening. And there were two men who didn't believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. Two believers, like, in this day and age. And they were way at the very back, at the very door, and there's a wee tiny kitchen. Brian goes, there isn't there a wee tiny kitchen in there? They were standing in the kitchen. Now, when you hear, they saw it. They came out and saw it. And they went back into the kitchen and prayed against it and said it was an other spirit. When I came out after the meeting, they said, oh, we prayed it. I'm sure you were glad we're in there praying against that. We've seen that all covered like a mist. I says, what are you praying against? I says, that's God coming in to do a work among the people. Do you see the difference? Do you know what happened? Families, whole families started getting saved. I mean, whole families. And around that area, the Dungannon area, there were so many of them getting saved. Wendy, Paul, do you remember that? Whole families getting saved. Brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. There's a whole family that are would have come here, but they're away somewhere else at the minute. And the whole family gets saved. One of the sons gets saved. He's a grown man, a grown married man. He gets saved. His brother gets saved and his daddy gets saved all in the same night then. Then his wife gets saved and his daughters get saved. And they just kept all in this little hall. When we see this, this is when it really broke. Because it's the supernatural being manifest through flesh and blood. Boy, do you know how much of my notes I've used? Not that. Do I know how much of my notes I've left? Don't worry, we're not going there. We'll go on next week for the rest. But listen, we're not done yet, just yet. Through the ministry, this figure has been back and forward. I know him now. Has been back and forward to test me, to hinder me, to hurt me. But all along the way, I've known to use the whole armor of God. I just don't sing about the power of the blood, you know, for the sake of it. I don't preach about the power of the blood just for the sake of it. I believe with all my heart there's still power in the blood. With all my heart. So, this has been back and forward. And all the while I've known now, it's like, I know who my Lord is. I'm not waiting for validation, you know, from anybody to tell me whether I'm saved or not. I know who I am in Him. That's not arrogance, that's believing Him. That's a long time understanding my position in Christ. So, there's one I don't know where to say it or not out in public. I'll tell some of it. I can't go into all of it. I was out walking with my dog. Not this dog. Harley Davidson, the last dog. I was out walking over the fields and Harley would have swam in the river. And I used to go there all the time. All the time. Just walking, there's nobody about, praying and talking to the Lord. All the time. And this one day I'm walking and it's a lovely day. There's not a cloud in the sky, not a wind blowing. And I'm walking and it's beautiful. And there's Harley swimming. And I look over to Harley. And he usually get up a wee bit ahead of me and run back to me. And as I looked over, just here where the river, right hovering over the middle of the river, was a cloud. Was a cloud. And I stopped and I looked, man. And it just hovered there. Stayed there. And I said, Lord, is that you? Is that you? Where it went. I walked on back again. And there's a bit down where the river goes here. And I'm standing here and I'm praying at the river bank. And over here, there's two trees. And the cloud was just filling between the two trees again. Lord, is that you? That just fizzled out in a way. There's more to it, but I won't go into it. This, I never told Alison for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I could not for the life of me forget it. I was up at night over it, and I didn't know whether to be afraid of it or whether to rejoice in it. I didn't know. And I eventually told Alison, she says, you need to talk to somebody. I think she meant, obviously, spiritual. And I said, well, I just don't want to seem like this is foolish. And who will I talk to? She says, well, who do you usually talk to? And who do you think would have come across these sort of things before? Hello, Bishop. How you doing, son? I says, I need to talk to you. What now? I says, yes. He says, do you want to come down? And I drove all the way to Green Island. And I sat in his house. I says, Bishop, I have something to tell you. And I know that only you can understand this because I don't know anybody else to talk to. And I told him what I'd seen and what had happened and the things before. And he just sat back and he went, praise God, son. The Lord is revealing himself to you even more. And he started to tell me what I'd seen. I'm not going to. And he says, and this is what will happen. And this is what will happen. And this is what will happen. And brothers and sisters, there's only one more to go. There's only one more to go. Why would I not just take the easy route and just preach us a little, here's a nice wee message to pump up your tires, and or here's a little nice message to tickle your ears and to pat the back and make everybody feel wonderful? Why bring messages to do with all sorts of things which are hard hearing at times. Well, this is why. This is why. Because I know, I've seen, I've experienced, I've dealt with. I know what we're wrestling about and whom we're wrestling with. Look, I know people will think I'm crazy. People think I'm crazy anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. But one thing I know is this, and I'm assured of as I'm standing here in this platform, that this wretched sinner, this one here, I'm not talking about anybody else, I'm talking about me, this wretched sinner who was hopeless and helpless, who was up to his eyeballs and all sorts of stuff. For some reason, this wretched sinner, the Savior came to die for him. To save me from somewhere like he, that Spirit brought me and showed me. Look, listen. That's the way he went. And I'll never forget it. I will never, ever forget it. One more and I'm finished. I didn't mean to give you all those examples, but I might as well go back to it next week and bring you some of the scriptures. I want to look at how Jesus spoke. Just as where I learned to do that. I'm not saying I'm anything special, I'm not, but learning to know what you're looking at times. Alison and I were asked to go to Romania. 1998. And I was over there doing a bit of work on the house Whitewell was building. And look, if I need anything done in our house, man, you'll get the toolbox out and you'll lift that big toolbox and you'll go and you'll work away at it. Well, I use my brains for my feet for dancing. I phone Stan, the father-in-law. And Stan comes round, or Alison phones him. He had to come round this afternoon because the dog pulled the curtain out of the wall. Right off the wall. Stuffy hanging onto the end of it. It was hanging right over all the windows at the front. You know what I'm going to do? So my job was labouring. I was younger, fitter. And they gave me the important job of getting all the old rusty nails and straightening them out. So I was standing with all these bent rusty nails. And I was on my knees like this. Straightening them out. They reused everything. And a pair of shoes came here and stood here. Hang on. And there's Pastor McConnell had flown over just to see how we were getting on. He flew the whole way over just to spend time with us. And we sat, talked about the Lord and all for him. We picked his brains and everything. And as I looked up, I got up and I went, ah, all right, Bishop. By the way, Bishop's just a nickname. Okay, we just want to put that out there. All right, Bishop. And he says, all right, son, come on a walk with me. And I said, uh-oh. You go a walk with him, you're either in trouble or he's going to ask you to do something. So I went, right, and we walked through the village. He says, I want you to come and open the wee church here at the front. So we built in a wee house and it was converted into a wee church. When you open the church here, I want you to live here and run that orphanage or that home, as we called it. This was out of the blue. I thought, I have to pray about this. He says, of course you do. And when the Lord tells you yes, you can let me know. So I'm seeking the Lord. We come home after a few weeks. The building's built. They're just getting things done while they're there. I come home. I phoned Alison actually from there. I come home. I'm seeking the Lord about it. And I used to go out walking over a golf course. Well, it's a park like, but we golf course in it. I'm praying over where I used to party, where the drugs drove me mad, where the demonic came into my life. And this is what I remember praying, Lord, Lord, I'd do anything for you. You know that. I'll go anywhere. I just need to know. And it's clear in my heart, then go to Romania. Listen, give everything away. Sell nothing. Trust me and go. Say that again, Lord, would you? Give it away. Listen, brother, sister, it's no difference than the Lord speaking to you right here now and saying, I want you to sell give everything you have away. Don't sell it, and I want you to go to another country. What do you mean? Sure, I've got a house, and I've got a car, and I've got lovely new furniture. Well, our house, we were only in it a few months. Go. And what I prayed was, Lord, would you please tell Alison before I get home? You see, brothers and sisters, get a relationship with him. Not a prayer and I pray to you and that's it. Get a relationship with him every day. If you're out walking, if you're at work, get 5 minutes. Think of him in your head all day. And I says, will you tell Alison by the time I get home? And I get home and there as we get into the living room, the wee long kitchen here, and Alison's back was to me. And I seen her shoulders up and down thinking, is she all right? And as I went down, I says, Alison, are you okay? She turned around, her tears are streaming out of her. Now anybody knows Alison, she's not easily made cry. Tough stuff. Tough stuff. The only time she gets a wee bit weepy is whenever I just look at her, eyeball to eyeball. All right, love? And this is the truth, because this is this supernatural working through the flesh and blood. And she turns to me with a tear streaming out of her. She couldn't even speak, which is a first. And for the, I mean, just that moment that was the first to speak. And she points to this wee blue King James Bible our brother and grandfather preacher had bought her. She still has it. Crying, uncontrollable. Hey, man, come here and sit down. We sat down at her table. And she's like, tell me. And we settled, we prayed a bit, and she settled down. And this is not her life. And she says to me, Ken, I'm sitting here, and I'm reading how the Lord fell on his face in Gethsemane. And he fell, and we know with our study and teaching that he fell. The idea is he falls and gets up again. He falls and he gets up again. He falls over and over again. And he's crying onto his father, but he fell on his face, and she says. And I said, Lord, why? And the Lord spoke to her and says, I've done it for you. Now do this for me. I says, well, the Lord spoke to me up there, and we have to give all we have away, not to sell it and go to Romania. He says, that's what he said. And so we did. So we did. And when we came home, we went and we came home, and that's another story. We were living in this wee house. And one night we're sleeping and you hear a crash. I mean, an almighty crash. The two of us jumped up. And you thought there was something in the wall, like a big pane of glass. Only there was like a shh and a big bang. We jumped up and we went, what? But there was nothing there. I go, what was that? Now listen, brothers and sisters. Do you see when Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood here? Against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places? Do you see the idea of this? There's a root word for the wrestling that gives the idea of something that's pulsating and vibrating. I didn't know this at the time, so it's not like I'm fitting this in here. And we're sitting in bed, and all you hear then is, and it came right around our heads. You could tell where it was going, right around our heads. And it was evil. This wasn't the Holy Ghost. Blah, 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 blah. And it sat right in front of us as if it was there. And she looks at me and I look at her. And I says, you know what we're going to sing, don't you? There's power, There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And you know what? I could play about two chords. I'm up to about three chords now on the guitar. I got the guitar out, and the two of us sat and sang unto the Lord. That's the way it was going. There's power, there's power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Then we prayed and we tore down that spiritual stronghold. Never returned again. Okay. There's so many. That's just a few. So many of them. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood.